There are many people today who believe that there are a lot of ways to get to God. In fact, whether it's Christianity or Islam or New Age or any other number of ways that there is a God and that He is there, and there are many ways to approach Him. One God, many ways. In fact, people say, well, you come however you choose. Well, we find in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says this, that there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The truth is, you can't go by what men say, because men say there are all kind of ways to get to God, and there's a God, and if we just choose whatever way we want to, somehow we decide how we get to Him. We can't go by what men say. We must go back to what the Word of God has to say. Jesus Christ said this. He said, there is a way that leads to destruction, and there's a way that leads to life. The truth is, if you talk about coming to God, it can be sort of narrowed down into two big ways. A way of works and a way of faith. Works is religion. It is man trying to please God by what he does. This is often called the broad way. And then there's faith, which is true Christianity, which is by God's grace. Man comes by faith in God's provision, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus. This is often called the narrow way. Let's think about these two ways for just a second. Works and faith. All religions come to God by works. All groups seek to somehow do something good to get to God this way, whether it's pray seven times a day, be good, keep certain laws or rules or restrictions. It's man trying to please God in some way. Faith, biblical Christianity, is different. It is God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and rose again. And whenever man puts their faith in Jesus Christ, they have eternal life. That's why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. This morning, as we continue in our study, Jude talks about these false teachers. He describes them, and he says they have gone the way of Cain. Well, what is this? What is the way of Cain? How does this tie into works or faith? And what we realize is the false teachers proclaim a way to God, which is a way of works. We find that false teachers, in fact, these that Jude talks about, well, we find out that all false teachers, they proclaim a way to get to God by rejecting God's provision, which is Jesus Christ, salvation simply by faith, and they proclaim a system of works. And Jude calls this system of works the way of Cain. And what we're going to do this morning, we're going to see, what is this way of Cain? Why did he call it that? What does the Word of God have to say? And we'll see this. As we begin, let's do this. If you would, take your outline of the study. I think it's on green paper this morning. Pull that out just for a second. We want to look at our study of Jude. You know, when we started this study, there's only 25 verses. And, you know, we looked at this and say, well, gosh, 25 verses. We could be through that in just a couple of weeks. I think we're in our seventh week already. We're now down to verse 11. There's just so much in there. Let's get a little review of where we are. Remember in verses 1 and 2, it was Jude writing to the fellow believers. In verses 3 and 4, he gave us the purpose that he wrote. He says, I want you to contend for the faith because false teachers have come in. He said that God was going to judge the false teachers. And in verses 5, 6, and 7, he shows us past aspects of God's judgment on those who reject Him. We saw it, the Jews in verse 5, the angels in verse 6, and Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. That's what we saw. Beginning last week, we started a new section in which he describes these false teachers, verses 8 through 16. And we saw last week in verses 8, 9, and 10, he gives their conduct. He says they live by the flesh, they reject authority, and even a strange passage last week, it says they make fun of angels. That was the false teachers. He said their end was destruction. Well, this morning as we get to verse 11, and if you notice, verse 11 has three parts to it. It's called the woes, the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And we're going to see how that ties together in those three things this morning. And we'll begin really with the way of Cain, but we're going to look at all of them just briefly. In fact, as we start, let me give you what these three things are. What is the way of Cain? What is the error of Balaam and the rebellion of Korah? I'll give them to you, and then in the weeks to come, we're going to go in a lot more detail. The way of Cain, simply put, is this. That it is rejecting God's provision of salvation by faith and seeking to come to God by works. That's what it is. False teachers teach that you can come to God by what you do. The second thing is the error of Balaam, which when you think of Balaam, you think of greed, you think of desire for money. But what we find out is for money, Balaam helped or led or caused God's people to sin. And we're going to see what he did. We'll see how that fits together. And false teachers for money will do anything that it takes to get money from people, even lead them astray. And then the third thing is the rebellion of Korah, and that is the rejection of God's leadership and authority. And as we saw last time, most false teachers reject the authority of God's word in any way, shape, or form. They do what they want to do. realize that this is the characteristics of false teachers. They have a message of works. They, for money, cause people to sin in a sense, lead people astray, and they reject God's authority. Now, what we're going to do in these next 2 to 3 weeks is see that. This morning, we're going to begin with the very first one, the way of Cain. What is this? As you know, we've been going verse by verse, passage by passage through the book of Jude. And it's, as we've said many times, it's an often overlooked book. It's often a misunderstood book. In fact, many people not only have ever, never studied it, they've never read it. And as we go through it, we have found that there's so much in there. Well, he's dealing with these false teachers. Look what he says in verse 11 again. He says, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Well, the first one we want to look at is they've gone the way of Cain. Notice how he starts, "Woe to them." The word woe means sorrow. It means sadness. It means like, oh no, something bad is really coming. He says, "Woe to these guys," because something bad is coming. And we already have seen four times in this book, four times he's going to judge them. He's going to judge the false teachers. So he says, "Woe to them." Why? Because they've gone the way of Cain. And we want to see two big things this morning. First of all, who was Cain? And then the second thing we're going to look at is, what is this way of Cain? What does it mean? And as we look at that, let me raise some questions for you to think about. We're going to talk about things like, how do you get to God? I mean, what is the way? What does God expect? And what exactly did Cain do? I mean, why would Jude, out of all of the people in the whole Bible, pick Cain out to be the one who's called, "These false teachers have gone the way of Cain"? Why? We'll see how that fits together. Let's begin with, who is Cain? And many people, of course, who've studied the Bible are, if you've been able to read the Bible or been a Christian very long, you might automatically assume, okay, Cain, that must be Cain and Abel Cain. Well, you're right. Some people maybe have never got to study the Bible, and they may not know who we're talking about. Without turning there, we're going to turn back to Genesis 4 in just a little bit. But in Genesis chapter 4, we have the story basically of Adam and Eve after the fall, after they ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, and after God has already dealt with that, they have children, and they have a son. His name is Cain. He's the first one. And it says in the Bible that he was a tiller of the soil. He had some crops. And then they had another son. His name was Abel. And he had some sheep and those kind of things. We'll talk about that later. But two things stand out about this man named Cain. If you've read much of the Old Testament, in fact, in Genesis chapter 4 and on up, you find two things. First of all, Cain is famous for rejecting God's provision for himself. God had told him what to do, and we're going to see in a little bit that he did not do what God told him. He rejected it. But there's a second thing that he is famous for, and that is he killed his brother. He murdered him. Now, I want you to understand something. God said to Cain, "You need a sacrifice." Cain said, "You want a sacrifice? I'll give you a sacrifice." He killed his brother. We'll see how that ties together a little bit later. The second question that we want to raise is, what exactly is the way of Cain? Now, we mentioned it a while ago, and it says they've gone the way of Cain, and we'll see details in just a little bit. But simply put again, the way of Cain is trying to come to God by works. And that's what false teachers do. They proclaim that we come to God by works. They're following the way of Cain. There are people who tell you if you'll join a church, if you'll give money, if you'll turn over a new leaf, if you're willing to turn away from your sins, if you'll be willing to be baptized, if you're willing to do the following thing, you can come to God. It's all works. It's man doing something to get to God. And that's false teachers. That's the way of Cain. Now, as we get ready to look at that, let's do this first. Let's think again about the way to God. And I want you to think through this with me. There are really two ways that people try to come to God. One is by works, and the other is by faith. Let's take a look at works for just a second and raise this question. Can man approach God by works? I mean, can man come to God by what he does, his works and his righteousness? You know what the answer is? The answer is yes. Now, here's the problem. If you come by works, you have to be perfect. If you're going to approach God by what you do, if you say, "I'm going to go to God and I'm going to do the following things and I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to try to keep the Ten Commandments and I'm going to do this and I'm going to approach God by what I do," if you approach God by what you do, you must be perfect. The standard is not just being good. The standard is perfection. In James chapter 2, verse 10, James writes that any man tries to keep the law, yet offends it in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. If any of us in this room say that I'm going to come to God by the things that I do, then you must be absolutely perfect. You could never have sinned even one time in your whole life, or you're out. In Matthew chapter 19, we saw this last Wednesday night, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and here's his question. What good thing can I do to gain eternal life? That's what he asked. What good things can I do to get to God? And Jesus Christ answered him. He said, keep the law perfectly. So if a person says, I'm going to come to God by what I do, And I've had people come into my office and I say, are you going to heaven? And they say, yes. And I say, why? And they say, because I've been good. I said, really? Yeah, I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I said, have you kept every one of them? Well, I mean, I've tried. I said, wait a minute. The standard is not, I've tried. The standard is perfection. So if any of us in this room say that I'm going to come to God by what I do, you better be perfect. That's that whole system of works. And by the way, false teachers teach that. They say things like, keep the Ten Commandments. Do good and God will love you. In fact, that's the lie of the devil. Do good and God will love you. You can't do good, God already loves you. Anyone approaching God by works must be perfect. I want you to understand, the moral law does not take into account human wickedness. It does not take into account the fact that human beings fall short. It demands perfection. One sin and you're out. And that's the truth. If any of us in this room, and see, many of you know my background. Before I was 19 years old, when I went off to college, if you'd have said, are you going to heaven? I would have said, yes, I am. Why? Because I've done a lot more good than bad. That's what I thought. And if some of you may be in the same shape I was, I thought as long as you did more good than bad, then when you stood before God, He would say, okay, you got this many goods, this many bads, you can come in. One bad and I'm out. I didn't know that. I thought the standard was just do more good than bad. The standard is perfection. And anybody that approaches God on the basis of their own righteousness or their own works must be totally perfect. Now the truth is, that none of us measure up. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 64:6 says all the righteousness of man are filthy rags. Isaiah 53 says all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. Nobody can ever come to God by works because we can't measure up. And false teachers say that you can be good, you can do something to get to God, you pray, you join a church, you eat certain foods, you deny yourself somehow, you can get to God. The problem with that is we all fall short of God's perfection. That's why it's called false teaching. What do? Well, we see the other way that God says approach Him, and that is by faith. That is through God's grace. God has a provision for all of us who fall short, and all of us do fall short. And that provision is His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Jesus Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Me. God has a provision. It is His Son, Jesus Christ. The response by us is to approach Him simply by faith. We trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe that Jesus died for us, paid for our sins, and rose again. When we trust Him, we have eternal life. Romans 4:5 says, to him who does not work but believes in Jesus Christ, his faith is counted for righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So when you think about it, the two ways to God, works and faith. If a person tries to come to God by works, they must be perfect. The truth is, none of us are perfect. We all fall short. We cannot approach God by our works. It's only through Jesus. The false teachers have gone the way of Cain. We're going to talk about what this means in just a second. Because they say, you come to God by what you do. You can go into this community. You could go downtown. And if you were bold enough to stop people and talk to people about going to heaven, and you ask them how they know, many of them would say they know because they've done good things. They've tried to do good. They've tried to be the best they could be. You do not know the number of people who have sat in my office and said, well, I've tried to do what things God wants me to do. See, the standard is not that I tried. The standard is perfection. You cannot approach by good works. And there have been people who have taught historically that if you do good, you can get to God. It's impossible, and it's false teaching. It is the way of Cain. Now, why is it called the way of Cain? How did that fit together? Well, we want to go back and we want to see what Cain did so that we can see why Jude would call it the way of Cain. And I want you to hold your place in Jude and go back to the book of Genesis. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. And as you're turning, just remember that God has already created Adam and Eve, and they've fallen. In chapter 3, they fail. They ate the fruit that they were not supposed to eat. And as we get into chapter 4, the fall has already happened, and we're going to see that the man and the woman, are they going to have children? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis 4, 1. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Now, let me tell you this. When it says the man, that name, that Hebrew word there is Adamah, which it is the word for ground. But that's why we call him Adam, because God took him from the ground and formed him. And his name is Adam, Adamah. And it literally says, and Adamah, the man, or Adam, had relations with his wife Eve. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, now notice what she said, I've gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. She said, this is great. Look at this baby. Now, why was she so excited? Not because it's the very first one. Let me tell you what God told them. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came to them and said, listen, I've got a promise for you. I'm going to send a redeemer to pay for your sin. In fact, pay for the sin of all mankind. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he talks about the redeemer. He says it will be the seed of woman. It's going to be a human being. It's going to be a child. And as soon as Cain is born, she goes, I got him. This is it. This is the one from God. They found out very quickly he wasn't. But they thought he was. So they got this little boy. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. That's the second one. Now, they had more children than this. These are the two that are mentioned. Notice the description. It says, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks. Cain was a tiller of the ground. That's no big deal. One took care of sheep and things, and the other was a farmer. Now watch what happens. Verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel in his part also brought of the firstling of his flock and of their fat portions. Now we're going to stop there. It says it came about in the course of time. Literally in the Hebrew it says at the end of the days. Literally it says at the end of the week. See, God had already showed them. He'd already shown them that pattern. You work 6 days and rest on the seventh. And best that we can understand, this is the end of the week. It is near that Sabbath day, and they're coming to worship God. Now, I want you to ask this question. How could a person, if you were Adam or Eve or Cain or Abel, how in the world would you worship God in those days? What would you do? You would bring an offering to Him. Now, what do you bring? God had already shown them. I want you to understand this. Do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned, what God did? God took an animal. And that animal died in their place. Instead of them dying for their sin, God took that animal, cut the throat of whatever animal it was. The animal died. He took the skin of that animal and covered them up. And it was a picture of a substitute, a blood sacrifice substituted for them and covered their sin. It was a foreshadow and a picture of a sacrifice who would come one day to take man's kind's place, not to cover sin, but to pay for sin. Beginning with Adam and Eve and that animal sacrifice, all the way through, it was the foreshadow of Jesus Christ, who's going to come, or who came, and died on the cross, shedding His blood, being our substitute to pay for our sin. That's what it was. That's what God told them. And so in those days, if you were going to approach God, you had to come by faith, and by faith you would bring an animal that would die in your place, so to speak. That's the picture. It's a substitute. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and what did God do? He had His Son, Jesus Christ, die in our place, a substitute, and shed His blood. So at the time of Adam and Eve, the thing that they were supposed to bring was an animal sacrifice, dying in their place, shedding their blood, shedding the blood, and it was coming by faith. Had to trust God. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, notice what happened. Verse 3 again. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, brought of the firstlings of the flock and their fat portion. Now, I want you to understand that Abel came up and he said, this is an animal, and it's dead because I had to kill it and blood had to be shed, and that's, I'm coming by faith because this is the picture. But what did Cain bring? Turnips. So you don't get blood out of a turnip, right? You put it down there. Watch what happened. Verse 4 again, and Abel on his part brought of the firstlings of the flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. God said, good offering. Good job. That's how you approach me. You approach me by faith. You approach me by a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Notice the next verse. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Why? There's no sacrifice. There's no blood. There's no substitution. There's no picture of a coming Messiah. There's no picture of the seed of woman who's going to crush the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. And he looked at Cain and said, not a good offering. Watch what happened. But Cain, verse 5 again, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. You know what countenance fell means? It means he made a face. Who does God think he is? That's what he's doing. I brought what I wanted to bring. This is the way I come to God. I grew this stuff. I harvested it. I bring it up here. This is my stuff. You ought to like the stuff. God says, that's not how I told you to approach me. And when people say, look, I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. If that's not enough for God, God says, that's not how I told you to approach me. I told you to approach me through the death of my Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to come to me. So Cain came the way of works, and he put it down. Now watch what God does. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why have you made a face? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, literally, if you do what is right, will not your countenance be lifted up? He said, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be taken care of. See, the way to God is not by our works, but by faith. Coming in God's provision, and God said, this is how you approach me. At this day and time, this is how you approach me. You approach me by a substitute animal sacrifice that covers your sin. It's a foreshadow of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who is sacrificed in your place and pays for your sin. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist saw Jesus walking by and he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the plan. There can never be forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. So here we see Cain approaching God by his works. Abel approaching God by faith with the provision that God says. And God says to Abel, thank you. And he says to Cain, that's not the right one. Why are you so mad? You know what to do. And he doesn't do it. I want you to see what happened. I want you to see a little bit more. Turn over to Hebrews. Go all the way back to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11. We get a little bit more detail. Look at Hebrews 11. Of course, it's known as that Hall of Fame of Faith chapter. It talks about how by faith everybody did something. I want you to see Hebrews 11. Look at verse 4. Look what it says. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, that he believed God, that he trusted God, that he came by faith. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. Abel still tells us the right way to come. You come by faith. Now, I want you to notice two things. First of all, in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. First of all, it's by faith, and second, it is a better sacrifice. See, he came by faith. He came not by his works, but he came by faith. He took this animal, which God had told him, you approach me by the blood sacrifice, you approach me with a substitute, and by faith he brought it. It was a better sacrifice because it was what God required. It was a blood sacrifice. The way of Cain is to approach God by works. That's what it is. From Adam and Eve all the way up to Jesus Christ, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, especially when there was a sacrifice for sin, they would take an animal. That animal would die in their place. You remember what they would do? They would put their hand on top of the animal's head. It would be symbolic of saying, my sin goes on this animal. This animal dies in my place. The blood is shed. It becomes my substitute and covers my sin. It is a foreshadow until one day Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God, will come and he will die and he will take my sin upon himself and he will pay the penalty, not cover it, but pay it. And from Adam and Eve all the way to Jesus, that's all of those sacrifices, that's what they foreshadow. And how did you approach God? Always by faith. always by God's provision. And at this day and time at Cain and Abel, it was the provision of an animal sacrifice coming simply by faith, looking forward to the Messiah. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But Hebrews 10, verse 12 says, when Jesus Christ offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's over. He made the penalty. He paid the penalty for our sin. We come to God by faith. We come to God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And go back to Jude, verse 11, and we see the way of Cain. And he says, woe! Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. And what do false teachers teach? They teach that you can come to God by something you do. If you can just be good enough, if you can join a church, if you can give money, if you get baptized, if you walk down the Nile, if you're willing to give your life to God, if you're willing to repent of all your sins, if you're willing to do the following six or seven things, somehow you can get to God. You can't do it. The works of man are filthy rags. You can never measure up to God. You can never have the perfection standard that is required. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. False teachers will tell you you can do something else. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, the way of Cain and these false teachers is a righteousness based on works, good works from man, not faith in God's provision, His Son, Jesus Christ. So the question to raise, just for you to think about this morning, how are you trying to approach God? I do not know everyone in this room. I know most of you. And my prayer is that every one of us in this room have already come to God through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There may be some of you in this room who think, well, who have thought up to this time just like I did up until I was 19, that, well, if I try to do good, I know I don't do perfect, I know I sin, but I'm trying to do good for God. You may think that somehow your works will get you there. Who's ever taught you that? That's false teaching. You can never get there by your goodness. There's no possible way. You can never be good enough. You can never be perfect. Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. Acts 4:12. If you seek to come to God by your works, you have to be perfect. You have to be. Come to God through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth. Just remember, there's a difference between religion and salvation. Religion is man trying to do something for God. Salvation is God doing something for man. He sent His Son to die for us. We're saved by the mercy of God, not by our own merits. So in this passage, He says the false teachers, they have gone the way of Cain because they teach that you can come to God by your own goodness, by your own works. It leads to destruction, separation. What have we seen? Jude describes these false teachers, and he describes them in three ways. He says they've gone the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And this morning we focused on the way of Cain, that is coming to God by works, not by God's provision, which is by faith in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ. So our application, be very, very simple. Come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. If there's someone here in this auditorium who has always thought, maybe up to this point, that somehow I can get to God by what I do or I'm supposed to do, I want you to understand, you can't do it. You can only come to God through Jesus Christ. It's only by faith. He is the sacrifice for you. He is the substitute. He took your place and paid the penalty so that you can have eternal life by faith. If you're seeking to come to God by works, you have to be perfect. And every one of us would say, well, we're not perfect. Come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. My prayer is that everyone in this room has trusted Christ as Savior. And my prayer is this, that when we go out from here and we go out of this community, we have the privilege and the opportunity to clearly share our faith, to tell others that it's not how good they can be, because they can't be good. It's not if they're willing to give up a few things to get to God. You can't give up anything. People say, well, turn away from your sin. Well, everywhere you turn, there's sin. We're sinners. Only by faith in Jesus Christ. May we as a body of believers proclaim clearly this message. The second application just to think about is this. Be able to discern false teachers. Listen, when you turn on the radio and the TV and read a magazine or a book, be sure and be able to understand. See what these people are saying. Sometimes they are very subtle. Sometimes they say it in such a way that it almost looks right. And you better dig it carefully and you better listen to what they say. Because there are people out there all the time who add works to salvation. And it almost sounds right sometimes. They say it really, really good. Be able to discern false teaching. May we realize that we cannot approach God by our works. That's the way of Cain. We always fall short. But we approach God by faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us. And by the authority of the Word of God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, by the authority of the Word of God, you have eternal life and you shall never perish. It's not based on you. It's based on Jesus Christ. It's not based on your works. It comes by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. And as we look at it, Lord, we realize that the only way that anybody could ever come to you is through faith. We know that if we try to work, that we have to be perfect. And we've all sinned and come short of your glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. Even our goodness, the things we try to do good, you consider that filthy rags. So, Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would recognize that truth. And if there are some who have never trusted in Christ, right where they're sitting right now, I pray they put their faith in Jesus, believing that He died for them and rose again, and that He is the one that gets them to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I ask you to use this body of believers that when we go out in this community, we will tell people about Jesus Christ. We will clearly proclaim the good news message, which we come by faith. Lord, I also ask you that as we study your word and we see truths, that we'll be able to recognize false teaching, whether it's dealing with salvation, whether it's dealing with Jesus Christ, dealing with the Bible, or any of those things. But Lord, especially concerning this passage this morning, may we be able to recognize when someone, whether it's subtle or not, adds works, comes the way of Cain. May we recognize it and not follow it at all, but proclaim clearly the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation simply by grace through faith. We ask this in Jesus' name.